Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Lord for that. Genesis chapter number 1. If you don't know where that's at, it comes after the book of Revelation. Genesis chapter number 1. Now, if you got your finger there, I want you to put your finger there, and I want you to go to the book of Revelation chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 1 and Revelation chapter number 22. I'm going to read you two verses. If you take notes and you're using the Bible that you used in 2016, you'll have reference to this message there. I dealt with some of this in 2016, matter of fact, May of 2016, but I just couldn't get away from it, and I've got a message on heaven that I wanted to preach this morning. Maybe God will let me preach it next Sunday, but I really felt led of the Lord to preach on this and deal with this again today, and after they started singing there, it kind of confirmed in my heart that I really believe this is where God wants us at. Genesis chapter number 1, look with me, and let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter number 1, look with me in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You say, when did time begin? Right there. You say, well, where did God come from? He's always been. In the beginning, when the beginning began, God was the one doing the beginning. Because he was always there. He's eternal. He always has been. He always will be. He does not have a creator because he is the creator. You said, preacher, I just don't know about all of that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There comes a time where we just got to trust the Bible for what the Bible says. Say, preacher, explain that. I can't explain it. I just choose to believe it. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 22. Look with me in verse number 21. This is the end of it. You with me? This is the last words in our Bible. We started out in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The Bible said in Revelation 22, verse number 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while. He is enough. He is enough from the beginning to the end. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 this morning in about 30 minutes. He's enough this morning. We don't need nothing else this morning. We don't need something new today. We don't need something out of the ordinary today. We just need him today because he is enough. You said, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing today. He's enough. You said, preacher, you don't know the phone call I got this week. He's enough. Preacher, you don't know what I dealt with coming to church this morning. He's enough. Preacher, you don't know what my kids are dealing with. He's enough. You hearing me this morning? He is enough. We don't need nothing else. He's enough. Amen. He's enough this morning. If you'll get a hold of what I just said, we can close our Bibles and go home this morning. He is enough. You said, preacher, I need something supernatural. No, you just need him. You said, preacher, my kids need something supernatural. No, they just need him. He is enough. Father, I love you. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. He is enough. Time would not permit us to do what I said that I would like to do. Let's preach from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 this morning. But I do want to show you a few things that he is enough in. And can I say again to you this morning, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I'm going to be. He is enough this morning for everything that we need in our life. We sat around last night around the altar up there on the hill and was talking to the young people, and we began to talk about our greatest fear. We began to talk about some of the things that they're dealing with right now more than they're dealing with others. And one thing that become a predominant subject in those young people last night was this word, anxiety. fitting in, dealing with others liking us and others wanting to be our friend or friendship. And I want to say something to you today. Each and every one of us at some point in our life deals with some of those same things. But I've got good news this morning. I've got an answer to every bit of that, and that is this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is enough for every situation in our life. Let me show you two or three places where He was enough. Number one, He was enough in creation. Jesus was enough. God was enough in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you go on and you read down and you begin to look at it, the Bible, or I'll just back up to verse number one. You can read on down where the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our own image. Who was the us? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matter of fact, that word God right there, when you study it out in the Hebrew in Genesis 1:1, it is uniplurality is what it means. And what it is standing for, God is saying that in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created the heaven and the earth. When was Jesus' beginning? Genesis 1:1 is when we're introduced to Jesus for the first time. It was not in a manger in Bethlehem that was the beginning of His earthly ministry, but Jesus is eternal just as God is. When was the beginning of the Holy Spirit? It was Genesis 1:1 is when we are introduced to Him for the first time. But the Holy Spirit always has been and always will be. God was enough in creation. He didn't have to pick up the phone and call in somebody else to help Him. God was enough to sit on His throne in glory in all of His power and in all of His majesty and say, let there be, and there was. He spoke light into existence. He spoke the world into existence. He formed the mountains that we enjoy today. God was enough in creation. I thought about this, and you've heard me say this before, but let me remind us of it. I thought about this morning. God being enough in creation. Everything that God made from a distance. And it's getting warm in church this morning, and we don't want nobody passing out like about did in my Sunday school class this morning, so I'm going to turn the air on. God was enough in creation. I got to thinking about this, and you've heard me say it before, but everything that God created from a distance. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke light into existence. But when it comes to mankind, when it comes to the human being, that is the only thing that God created up close, because the Bible said this, that He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. Everything else was created from a distance, but God created man in His own image, and it was a close relationship. He put His hands on him, and He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And can I say this? God was enough in the creation of man. I began to study the man again this week and the body again this week. Now, there's some medical professionals in here. I am not. Matter of fact, we was talking in Sunday school this morning, and Miss April, she's a nurse back there, and one of the words that I was reading, I told her, I said, I'm just going to call it ravioli. Are you with me? I can't say all these great big medical terms, but let me give you some of the things that I found out. I'm talking about God's enough this morning. Here's what I found out, Aaron. In the nerve impulses to and from the brain, travels as fast as 170 miles an hour. That's just about as fast as my Ford truck. The human heart creates enough pressure to squirt blood 30 feet. The human body is estimated to have 60,000 miles of blood vessels in it. 60,000. Let's put that in perspective. The distance around the earth is about 25,000 miles, making the distance your blood vessels could travel if laid end to end more than two times around the earth. I think God was enough when he created man. Think about this with me. The surface area of the human lung is equal to a tennis court. Your stomach, this is very interesting, your stomach gets a new liner every 3 to 4 days whenever you study it out. A new liner every 3 to 4 days because of the acid that's in it. Your left lung is smaller than your right lung to make room for your heart. What a coincidence. What a coincidence that this lung's a little bit smaller so my heart could go there. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God is enough in creation. Amen. I read this. Your nose can remember, before COVID, can remember 50,000 different senses. The scent, 50,000 different scents your nose can remember. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, man, when you look at mankind and you look at everything that goes on in the human body and how the human body is laid out and how one lung's smaller because of the heart being over it than the other lung and how God made ribs around your vital organs to help protect them. I say to you this morning, I believe that God is enough in creation. Number one, I see God is enough in creation, but number two, let me preach quickly this morning. I see that he is enough. He is enough in the catastrophic situations in our life. He is enough. When everything is going wrong in our life, he's enough. Yeah, man. When a bad phone call comes, amen. And I feel like preaching a little while this morning. When a bad phone call comes in the middle of the night, guess what? He's enough. He is enough. I thought this week was Miss Helen's birthday. Miss Helen's birthday, and it's her first one in heaven. The best birthday she's ever had was just the other day while she was in heaven. And I began to think about that. I began to think about that Friday night that Brother Dorsey preached at our church and dealt with the storms of our life and how God will always be there for us. I began to think about that Friday night when we went up there to Miss Helen's house. And Brother Scotty, they was working on her, trying to get her back. But the Lord saw fit to take her home. And then I began to think about her grandchildren and her child and her children still in church serving God. Her grandson still pastoring a church up there on the mountain. Boy, they could have got angry. They could have got bitter at God. They could have questioned God in that catastrophic moment in their life. But you know what? They found out that not only in creation is God enough, but for every situation in our life, every heartache, every broken heart, every trouble, every sorrow, God is enough today. He is enough. He isn't, no matter what you're facing. God's enough. You know what? Something that may be big to me is little to you. And something that may be big to you is little to me. But you know what? God's enough for whatever the situation is today. I thought about this in Job's life, in Job chapter number 1. Boy, you could see the catastrophe that hit Job's life, man. The problem that hit Job's life. Man, when you study Job, Job was a man that loved God. Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a man that was living in the center of God's will. Job was a man that had consistency in his life. Matter of fact, whenever you study Job's life, you know what he was doing in chapter number 1? He was making prayer and sacrifice for his children. He was. I'm working on a message on that, by the way. I hope the Lord will let me preach it before long. He wasn't just praying for himself. You study him out, what he say he was doing? He was making sacrifice for his children, man. He was praying for his kids. He was wanting God to do something in his kids' life. Job was living in the center of God's will. But you know what? There was a catastrophe that hit Job's life that day. And just the matter of 3 or 4 different messengers, Job loses his wealth. All of his wealth is gone. Job loses all 10 children. Job loses all of his servants but just three or four of them. Job's wife gets upset, and I'm not condemning Job's wife, but she gets upset and says, Job, curse God and die. Job's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job gets to a point in his life over there about chapter 23 where he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job said, I wish I knew where I could find him. I'm talking about God is enough. He said, I wish I knew where I could find God out. He said, I'd come before him and I would order my cause before him. He said, well, God, speak to me. In his anger, he said, no, God wouldn't do that to me. He goes on to say this. He said, I go forward and he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. He said, I go on the left hand where he doth work, and I cannot find him. He hideth himself on the right hand. You know what Job done? Job, you know it. He walked all the way around, and it seemed that God wasn't there. His family's dead. His wife's mad at him. All of his friends has turned his back. I'm talking about a catastrophe hit his life. Said, I've walked all the way around me, and it seemed God is nowhere around. But then he goes to the next verse, and he says this, But, he says, everything, whoa, yeah, good neighbor, everything's going wrong in my life, but my kids are dead, but my wife's upset, but my wife said, curse God and die, but I've tried to find God and I can't, but I wish I could talk to him and it seems he's nowhere around, but, Job didn't say, because all of that, I'll forsake God. But here's what he said. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what Job was saying? Job was saying this. Man, in the catastrophes of our life, we've got a God that is enough. Amen. He's enough today. He's enough. What are you facing today? He's enough. Can I ask you something? Did all your kids die this morning? Did every one of your kids die this morning? The answer, that's no. You know what it did in Job's life, but Job found him faithful. Yeah, man. Job found him faithful. Job found his faith. Anybody in here, did your wife tell you to curse God and die this morning? Don't raise your hand. If she did, Job found him faithful. Job just got done praying for his kids. I'm working on a message on this. Job just got done praying for his youngins. Job just got done making sacrifice at the altar for his youngins. And somebody walks up to him and says, they're dead. Now what about that? You get up off the altar praying for your youngins and somebody walks up and says, well, they're dead. Well, God, I've just been sitting here praying for them. God, why'd you do that? Not one time did Job say that. Matter of fact, when you study the life of Job out, you know what he says? And none of this, he charged God foolishly. Not in one thing. Not in one thing. You know what he done? He found him to be enough. He found him to be enough. I don't think you're getting what I'm preaching to you this morning. God's no respecter of a person. If God was there for Job, if he was enough for Job, he's enough for us. I thought about this. He was enough in creation. He's enough in catastrophe in our life. But I thought about this. He was enough at Calvary. He was enough at Calvary. All throughout that Old Testament, that sacrifice had been made. But when it come to Calvary, oh yes, he was enough. The songwriter said it this way. Well, number one, you can't drink pop off of Papa's got a lid on it. Did you see that, Miss Christie? Kayla, that's entirely too much laughing out loud. I did. I tried my best to get some of that water, and it didn't come through that top on there. For you that didn't see that, the top was still on my water, and I couldn't get no water out of it. What am I preaching about? God's enough, isn't he? I thought about this at Calvary. The songs has been wrote that says that God made a search through heaven for a sacrifice. God didn't make no search through heaven for sacrifice. Let me tell you the reason he didn't make no search through heaven for a sacrifice. There wasn't nobody else that could die for sin but Jesus Christ. There wasn't no other sacrifice. There wasn't no other alternative. There wasn't somebody else that he could go to. Oh, but I say to you today, at Calvary, God was enough. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Probably the greatest picture of the Trinity in the whole Word of God is right there. You got the Son being baptized. You got the Holy Spirit in a picture of a dove coming down on him. And you got the voice of God coming from heaven saying, this is my Son. I'm well pleased in him. I thought about this. The Bible said this in Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What did it say about Calvary? He said it pleased God to bruise his Son. What did the Bible say in John 19:30? The Bible said when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, listen to this, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What was he saying? He was saying this, it is enough at Calvary. We don't need nothing else. I don't work to get to heaven. I work because I'm going to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, it is finished. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. He was enough at Calvary. We don't need no substitute to Calvary. I don't need to go to the Pope with no hope that calls himself father, dresses like mother, and can't have babies. Praise God, I can go straight to the throne room of God. I can march right into the throne of God. I can stand before God and make my request known to him, all because of Calvary today. I thought about this. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. What? The work of salvation. Oh, he wasn't finished. He was just getting started. Oh, yes, good neighbor. But he said, it is finished. Hey, God was enough at Calvary. It is finished. It's the word in the Greek, telestai, or some call it tetelestai. That's what it is finished means, telestai or tetelestai. It was a word that was used by many different people in that day. It was a word that a servant used. A servant, whenever he would complete the task that his master had given him, that servant would go back to his master and he would say, telestai, tetelestai, or telestai. And what he was saying to his master was, what you sent me to do, I have done it. I have completed, amen, the work that you sent me to do. It was a word, telestai was a word used by an artist. He would paint a picture. And whenever he would paint that picture, when he was done, he would stand back and he would look at it and he would say, telestai, it is finished. My work is done. It's a word that was used by a banker. When somebody owed the bank a debt and they paid that debt off, then they would tell the individual that had borrowed the money, they would give them a note or they would tell them this word, telestai. And it meant this, the debt that you once owed is now paid. I don't guess nobody else is getting any of this. The debt that you once owed has now been paid in full. I'm saying he was enough at Calvary. Telestai. But he was also a soldier's word. And some of you have heard the message that I preached just on that word. It was a soldier's word. And whenever nations would come against nations in battle, the winning nation or the winning country, whenever they would win the battle, they would go to the opposite team or the opposite army or the opposite country, and they would find the highest ranking officer that was still alive.
And they would bring that highest ranking officer into the city square, is what we would know of today. And as that army or that country would begin marching back in from battle, if they had won, they would begin hollering, Teleestai, 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 as they was coming back into their country. And what they were saying to the people back in the country is, I've went to the battlefield, I fought the battle, and I've won the battle, and I've come back home. Jesus said, Teleestai. He came to the battlefield. He fought the battle against sin. And praise God, he won the battle against sin. He that knew no sin became sin. But then they would take that highest ranking officer, and they would bring him and they would set him at the courthouse square, if you want to look at it that way. And when they would put him down, the highest ranking officer from the opposite country would take his foot and set on his head, from what I can find. And here's what he would say, Teleestai, Teleestai, the battle's over, victory's been won. We have captured the highest ranking person still alive of the opposite team, if you want to look at it that way. You say, preacher, what are you saying? What did the Bible say in Genesis chapter number 3? That his heel would bruise the serpent's head. Let me tell you what happened on Calvary that day. Jesus marched right down into hell and grabbed Satan and drug him back to Calvary and stood at the throne of God and stuck his foot on his head and hollered out for the saved, Teleestai, 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 the battle's over, victory's been won. I'm not fighting a battle against sin. I've won the victory over sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, all because he was enough at Calvary. He's enough this morning. Let me tell you something, he's enough. I might have just broke that, and Miss Leslie will buy us another one. He's enough. Amen. I'm not fighting a battle against Satan this morning. If you are, that's your fault. My general has already won the battle against Satan. I'm about to run. My general's already won the battle against Satan. Yes, sir, go read Romans 5, 6, and 7 and start living in victory today. Teleestai. He's enough at Calvary. Number 4, can I say this? He'll be enough when it comes to the crossing. When it comes to the... You said, preacher, what crossing are you talking about? When you die, he'll be enough. If you're saved this morning, he said, my grace is sufficient. He's enough. He's enough. When it comes to the crossing this morning, he'll be enough. Time won't permit us, but Acts chapter number 7. Well, it's just 2 minutes till 12. Acts chapter number 7. Stephen's the first martyr in Acts chapter number 7. Paul is consenting to the death of Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. But he never got over it, because in chapter number 9 he gets saved. Never got over what he saw in chapter number 7. I believe that in all my heart. Stephen's dying in Acts chapter number 7. Go home and read the last of Acts chapter number 7. Stephen's about to die. They're stoning Stephen for serving the Lord. Paul, which was Saul then, found him, had him killed for serving God. That's what Paul did before he got saved, when he was Saul. Anyway, they're stoning Stephen to death. Stephen prays like Christ prays, because he says, lay not this to their account. He asked God, he said, don't put this on their account. He said, they're doing this out of ignorance. Don't put this on their account. And then he says this. He said, he bowed his head and closed his eyes. And said, when he looked up and saw, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Only time in the Bible that I can find there's a picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Bible said he was seated at the right hand of the Father. But in chapter number 7, Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. He's standing. I'm talking about he'll be enough at the crossing one day. Stephen's crossing over into heaven. And he looks up, you know, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know what he's doing? He's standing up to welcome that faithful soldier home. That faithful warrior that had stayed true to God. I've said this a million times. I said a million and one. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your pastor is be faithful. That's the greatest thing you'll ever do for him is just be faithful. Just be consistent. Be in your place. Be faithful. He's standing up to welcome that faithful soldier home. I thought about this yesterday. I'd done a funeral and I was standing there at Moody's Chapel and whenever everybody started in, you know what you always say, let's all stand, please. That's what you say whenever they come in. You ever notice that do the same thing at a wedding? But anyway, let's all stand. That was uncalled for, wouldn't it? It's the truth. You know what the difference in a funeral and a wedding is? You can smell the flowers at one, you can't the other. But anyway, they said, let's all stand. You know what Jesus was doing that day? One of his heroes was making this crossing. You know what Jesus done? He stood that day. I preached years ago, this world is killing me, but Jesus ain't going to take it sitting down. He stood up to welcome that soldier home. Can I say something to you this morning? When it comes time, do you care to come start playing soft? When it comes time for me to make the crossing, and it will. Matter of fact, we was talking about fears last night, wasn't we? And I said this. One of my greatest fears is not dying. I know it's appointed unto man to die. We're going to die. I ain't afraid to die because I know where I'm going. I'm afraid, but I am afraid the way I'm going to die. Matter of fact, me and Miss Jeanette from Moody's was talking about that a long time yesterday after that funeral. How are we going to die? I mean, you know, what else do you talk about at a funeral home? Dying. Talked about, I mean, you know, people's just dying to get down there to Moody's. But anyway, I thought, when they dig a grave when I was a little boy at Turner's Creek, they used to put a piece of plywood over. We'd slide that piece of plywood back and we'd jump down in that grave. I mean, it's a huge cemetery. I grew up beside Brother Jonathan when them old saints of God would come to visit the dead. Me and old Justin Short would be down in them graves. I've heard some of them people say some things that they should have went to the altar for on Sunday morning and they didn't. I ain't afraid to die, but I am afraid the way I'm going to die. But when it does come time to die, guess what? He'll be enough. My Pa Barker preached for over 60 years. And I thought about Pa yesterday. I bet my Pa Barker done 300 funerals, 400 funerals. He done funerals all the time. They'd call him from the funeral home. Hey, we need somebody to do a funeral. And Pa would go do them, Jacob. He all time. He done funerals all the time. I thought about that yesterday. I thought about Pa when Pa went home to be with the Lord. Pa didn't have much on this side of eternity. He'd give everything away. He had a little single-wide trailer that he died in. Matter of fact, David, Jacob's daddy, which is my first cousin, he married Cindy. But anyway, David was talking about Pa supporting him and Cindy as missionaries before he died. And Pa was laying there about to make the cross, and we had left and went home. Get some rest. And Dale, one of my other cousins, was staying with him. In the middle of the night before Pa went away, Pa looked over at Dale. He said, "Hey, Dale." He said, "Yeah, Pa." He'd been unresponsive pretty much for a day or two. He said, "Dale?" And he said, "Yeah, Pa." He said, "You see that crowd?" Dale said, "Pa, what are you talking about?" He said, "Oh, son," he said, "there's a big crowd waiting on me just right yonder." He said, "You see that? Let me tell you what he was seeing. I believe he's seeing them other saints of God, old Jim Woody that he preached with for years, those other saints of God that had outrun him in this race. I believe he was starting to get a glimpse of. I believe he's starting to get a glimpse of heaven." So, preacher, I'm saying he's enough. When it comes our time, I've been thirsty and I found him to be my water. I've been hungry and I found him to be my bread. I've been weary and I found him to be my resting place. I've been weak, and I found him to be my strength. I've been bruised, and I found him to be my healing ointment. I've been discouraged, and I found him to be my support. I've been outcast, and I found him with open arms to welcome me home. I've been frightened, and I found him to be my peace. I've been in a valley, and I found him to be my lily. I've been distressed, and I found him to be my comfort. I've been to the end of the rope and found him to be my solution. I've been lost before and found him to be my way. I've been hurt, and I found him to be my balm in Gilead. I've been condemned, and I found him to be the sacrifice for my sin. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying this. He's enough. He's enough. Whatever you need this morning, he's enough this morning.